It also found some deep freeze rolls and revived them in one of the long banks of microwave ovens. There was steaming coffee to drink and a variety of ice cream for dessert.
My compliments to your chef.
Doc had finally pushed away his dish after a third helping of peach and pecan ice cream.
Good a meal as I ever enjoyed. Yes, Theophilus Tanner is himself again, gentlemen.
Glad to hear it, Doc.
The old man completely ignored Ryan, wiping his mouth with his kerchief, eyes drilling past them into a different world.
Found some jolt tucked away behind the cans. Guess one of the cooks must have left it when they pulled out.
JB unfolded the frail paper bundle, revealing the powdery white crystals. Jolt was now enjoying a rebirth in the Deathlands.
Dump it in the cans, JB.
Jack put down his spoon and looked as if he were going to say something about the drug, but he caught Ryan staring at him and snapped his mouth shut.
The fountain of youth flows with poisoned water.
Christy and me will clean up here. You and Jack take Doc along and try to wash him up some. If he objects, let it lay. Not worth the sweat to upset him anymore. Then I reckon the dormitory sounds like a real good idea.
Ryan woke early. He glanced at his cron and saw that it was just after 5. Something had tugged him from sleep, and he reached automatically for his pistol. Without disturbing Christy, he slipped from their tousled bed, pulled on his pants, and quietly padded into the main section of the dormitory. Jack and JB were sleeping in one of the side rooms, and Doc was next door to them. Ryan pushed open the green-painted door with the muzzle of his pistol and glanced around. Doc's bed had been slept in, but now it was empty.
What was that?
Ryan followed the noise through the dining room and down a short corridor, which came quickly to a sort of crossroads. Doc Tanner was there, walking in stuttering, jerky steps. He advanced a few paces down one passage, then went back. The old man tried another, then retreated again. Ryan moved closer, recognizing the sound that had pulled him out of sleep. Doc was crying quietly to himself, gobbets of tears furrowing his cheeks. His eyes were red and swollen, and Ryan wondered how long the old man had been out there alone.
Hey, Doc?
Doc turned around, and Ryan was concerned at the madness he saw in the face, a shapeless, loose quality, as if the features had been pushed out of focus.
Doc? Wanna go back to bed, Doc?
There was no recognition in the staring eyes, and Doc's mouth was slack and drooling. At that moment, it came to Ryan that Doc Tanner might have finally taken one jump too many and wouldn't be rejoining the rest of them.
Who's there?
Me, Doc. Ryan Carter, your old friend. Can I help?
I fear I have not had the pleasure of your acquaintance, but I would be grateful for your assistance.
Sure. How can I help you, Doctor?
Ryan moved a few steps closer. Behind him, he heard footsteps and recognized the sound of Christy. But he didn't turn around, not wanting to risk losing this tenuous contact.
Help me. Tell me where I am, Mr. Carter. Where am I? Why am I here? How may I be free? And where in the name of mercy are my wife and children?
Oh. Ryan was just in time to catch the old man as he fell to the concrete floor in a dead faint.
Full evacuation by 0001 on day 4 of Schedule 01, PROV CETC. Redoubt to be sealed throughout, and only LTD Sec Force remaining in approved external watch section.
Jack had found the piece of paper from which Ryan read, crumpled in a corner of one of the corridors, near what they guessed was a triple sec door leading to the open air. It was the only clue to the speed and organization of the evacuation.
That's why it's all left running and stocked. Like they just sealed it for a couple of days and figured they'd return when the scare was over.
Ryan handed the paper back to the albino boy, who scrunched it between his hands and threw it onto the floor. JB shook his head.
Only the scare was never over.
Best get back to relieve Christy. At least we got enough ammo to last us a while. Except for Doc's cannon.
The redoubt had been kind to them in most ways. Apart from food and drink and the good hot water, It had also allowed them all to top up on self-lights and grens. JBE's dark brown leather jacket concealed a whole mix of the tiny lethal grenades. Implodes and frags, burners and shraps, lights and delays. All were color-coded for maximum efficiency. Jack and Ryan had also helped themselves to a variety of the grens, hooking them on their belts. All carried mags of ammo, some of it loose in pockets. Ryan had been delighted to come across some of the scarce caseless rounds for his beloved Heckler & Koch G12 rifle. The blaster held a clip of 50 of the 4.7mm rounds, and he'd been getting low. Since that quality of ammunition wasn't manufactured anywhere in the Deathlands, he'd started to resign himself to dumping the gun and picking up something that fired a more convenient 9mm bullet. They had loads of 9mm for his own Sig Sauer P226, for Christie's P7A13 H&K, for the armorer's MP7 SD8 Heckler & Koch rifle. JB had also topped up his supplies of 5.56mm ammo for his Steyr AUG pistol, and Jack's pants pocket bulged with extra rounds for his massive 357 Magnum. The friends were ready again to take on anything that moved, other than swarms of killer bees. Christie stood in the passage, waiting for them. The look on her face made it patently clear that she didn't necessarily have good news.
Doc's woken up.
But?
See for yourself, Mr. Cawdor.
The old man lay on his back, boots stacked side by side on the floor, the sheet pulled up under his chin. With his hands folded on his chest, he looked like the carved figure of a crusader in an ancient church memorial. Ryan perched on the end of the bed, the other three behind him.
Hi.
Pale blue eyes turned slowly toward him.
Good day to you.
Know who I am?
I fear not.
Know where you are?
Some hospital for the poor and needy.
Do you know what the year is?
Of course. It's 1896.
So far, so good.
Doc made an effort to sit up, then relaxed and lay back on the double pillows.
Please, will one of you take a message to my dear wife? She will be so worried at my absence.
Absence?
I have absented myself from home for, oh, let me see, it must be very close to 200 years now, and she will be beginning to become concerned about it. Do you not think?
Ryan kept his face schooled, not to show his deep worry.
We'll do what we can. I didn't catch your name, I'm afraid.
Theophilus Algernon Tanner, Doctor of Science at Harvard, Doctor of Philosophy at the English University of Oxford. A pleasure to meet you. Pray, forgive my not rising.
Of course. Can we get you anything to eat, Doc? Drink?
Thank you. A glass of water, and perhaps a bath, Oliver, if you have such a thing.
Ryan nodded, hiding his total ignorance of what Doc wanted to eat.
Sure. Listen, me and the others have to talk some. Then we're going out for a kind of a walk. The nurses have all gone home, so you better come with us.
Delighted, my dear fellow. And you won't forget to inform my sweet Emily of my temporary indisposition, will you? My card is in my waistcoat.
Everyone ready now?
Of course we are, Ryan.
Good. I'll just trigger the main doors for a few inches. Jack, get down and have a look under it. If you see anything you don't like, just say close and we'll shut it again. We don't need any more of those bastard bees. I can still feel the stings in me.
The boy lay down, his newly washed white hair spreading out on the concrete like spilled foam. Ryan punched in the number code and threw the green lever up. Almost immediately, he returned it to a central position to stop the sec door about 18 inches from the floor. Jack took his time, looking all around outside.
Nothing.
Nothing?
Fucking big trees. Fucking hot. Nothing.
Cautiously, Ryan allowed the armor door to slide all the way up.
Damn.
The heat swept into the redoubt like a tumbling wave, carrying with it an overwhelming smell of green. The entrance was set back into a hillside, behind what had once been a turning area for large military wags. But that was now a plateau of solid, waving grass, speckled with clusters of the most colorful flowers Ryan had ever seen. Crimsons, golds, purples, and vivid yellows seemed even brighter against the swaying emerald backdrop.
Paradise.
Christie shook her head in admiration and wonderment. Beyond the flowery carpet, they could see the tops of luxuriant trees, some of them resembling monstrously big palms. The air was heavy with moist scents and languorous perfumes from the flowers, some of them verging on the sickly.
Gotta be Hawaii or someplace in the Pacific. I saw an old sec vid about Hawaii. Called 50, it was. Weird name.
I think Hawaii had big mountains.
What?
This just looks like it's too flat to be Hawaii, Ryan.
Africa. Or India. I've seen pics of jungles looking like this.
I'll tell you one thing. This surely isn't any place in the Deathlands.
Doc was wandering around in small circles, head up, staring at the vivid pink clouds that scarred the orange sky.
Red sky in the morning, then sailors take warning. Here be tigers, I fear. We must exercise care.
JB had taken the tiny micro-sextant from a pocket and was busily shooting the sun, checking his data on a comp table of locations. He checked again. And again.
Hawaii?
Hmm.
Africa, then.
Hmm.
What about India?
No, it's... According to this, we're in the middle of what was Minnesota.
Rich indeed. Rich indeed.
Ryan carefully closed the door into the redoubt. His knowledge of pre-nuke America wasn't vast, but there were still enough old books to be